This is Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Ben Johnson.
The animated sitcom from FX called Archer kind of came of age along with the internet. What is Archer? I'll let Amber Nash say it. She's the actor who plays Pam Poovey, an HR manager on the show.
So there's this spy who's got mommy issues, and he's really mean to everybody that he works with. But on the inside, he really loves them, and he has lots of sex and drinks lots of booze and then gets into other kinds of trouble. And now this season, he's in a coma, and things are going wacky.
Archer is pretty techie. It's won Emmys for digital scavenger hunts hidden in the show. The eighth season airing now is also techie. I talked to Amber Nash and technical director Brian Fordney recently and asked Amber when she first realized the show's weird insider jokes were helping give Archer a life of its own on the internet.
I think it was probably like season three or maybe two or three. And I think the cool thing is, too, is like when we started – 2010 is when we aired our first season. And so that was just when like things were really taking off social media wise. And so it was they kind of like both grew together, which was really interesting to watch. And honestly, like all the I thought that I was the only person that didn't know what all these references were. And I thought that I was the stupidest person ever. And I always had to look stuff up when I read scripts or when I watched episodes. And then other people were like, no, no, we don't know everything either. Like, we totally have to look stuff up. And I was like, oh, it's part of the reason why the show is awesome is that it's so smart. I think it's fun because people talk about the show being raunchy, and it indeed can be very raunchy. But we totally earn it because the writing is so smart that we get away with it.
Well, it's interesting. The show references, you know, all of this stuff that, yeah, like that I have also had to look up and been like, oh, that's a really smart reference to like a literary, it's like a literary reference from 20 years ago or what, you know, whatever, which makes it really interesting. Brian, you're the technical director and you've helped kind of latch on to this second life the show has created online. And you guys have done something for this season that is almost old fashioned in internet years now. You've built an app for the show.
Yeah, this app is it's basically a companion app, so you use it while you watch the show. It's based around the scavenger hunts that we've concocted over the last two seasons. Amber was talking about how, you know, Adam Reed, the writer, hides all these literary references in the show, and he kind of challenges the viewer to look outside the show to sort of unlock these secrets, basically. And actually, I'd never thought about the connection between that and what we're doing. I mean, we're hiding all kinds of visual Easter eggs throughout. We've been doing it for seasons. I mean, it started, you know, as soon as Archer started. We started producing in 2009. I've been working on it as an animator since then. And the animation department has been just putting visual Easter eggs throughout every episode of every season. We started
to realize.
Can you give
like an example, a specific example of that or your favorite example of that?
One of the best examples, and it's the one that kind of kicked off the scavenger hunts, was I believe in season five, there's a part where Krieger is launching a rocket from some pad or something, and he's got a big like code computer for the rocket launch. And we put the Konami code on that screen, just in the background. The Konami code is basically a sequence of button things you do on your controller in an old Nintendo game to like unlock God mode or give you 100 lives or whatever. And fans like found that instantly as soon as it aired. and so then we thought, wow, you know, people are really looking at the background in this show more than we really thought, because we were hiding stuff really just for our own enjoyment. I mean, there's stuff in there that probably no one has found because it's so obscure, it's so hidden. But then we realized, okay, we actually should probably take this seriously. And really, Mark Patterson was the spearhead of that. Starting with season six, we started putting clues in the episode as part of a, you know, like overarching scavenger hunt that had really epic proportions, and it really required players to do things that I personally would never have figured out. I mean, it required a degree of technical prowess that I think most people don't have. I think without Reddit online, it probably would never have been solved.
Yeah, this stuff really took off, and you guys ended up you've won I think two Emmys now, right? For that aspect of the show, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, we've been making these scavenger hunts for two seasons. The second one was even crazier. I mean, I actually had my first steps in making a game that season. Many people didn't play it because it required you to connect via Telnet to play the game, which is something that only computer nerds from the 90s would probably understand. But I made a whole online dungeon game just for the fans last season. But yeah, we got an Emmy for that, and we thought, well, this season we really can't just make another crazy, impossible scavenger hunt. We need to do something else. We can't just keep upping the bar. And so we wanted something that sort of got into the same mentality of looking for Easter eggs, but in such a way that more people could enjoy it. And so we decided to take advantage of this new tech, I mean somewhat new tech, augmented reality, which basically means – like people have played Pokemon Go. I mean it's kind of related to that, not quite the same thing. But it's basically taking your device, whether it's your phone or tablet or whatever, and assuming that device has a camera, basically putting fantasy stuff in your quote-unquote real-world experience. That's kind of what augmented reality is about. And in the context of this app, it means pointing your camera, your phone, at the show as you're watching it to uncover clues automatically. So they actually like pop off the screen and they become part of a in-game scavenger hunt.
You guys have been recognized, I think, for trying to kind of push the envelope on what, you know, quote unquote, the future of television is. And obviously this is part of that. Brian, how do you think about that process or like what are the challenges of figuring out this? It sounds like some of the challenges are making sure that you hit a wide enough audience for it to be worthwhile.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for that, we're really we benefit from being working with FX because, I mean, even on just television, I think FX is doing such experimental work to a mainstream audience that it seems like they're more willing than lots of others to really engage in new stuff that maybe is challenging and different and not what you expect from a television show. In our case, it was a challenge in this app to figure out how to do it in such a way to include as much people as possible. We didn't want to make it exclusive. We wanted to make it Archer specific, and definitely a shout out to the fans of Archer and to the participants of the previous scavenger hunts. But we wanted to make it as easy as possible for those people to enjoy it while also making it challenging enough to be interesting. And so that hopefully it's not just casual Archer fans, people who don't normally play games that play it, but also gamers, people who are into games, into challenging puzzle adventure games, might actually watch the show when they never did before just to play this game.
And the game is really cool. It has all this, I mean, along with the augmented reality stuff, it has this like period music, you know, that has, you know, all this noir stuff in it and, you know, nice images and stuff like that. Amber, can you describe your character a bit, who she is, and also talk about how or whether you thought about your character's life in the digital world as separate from your own and the character that's on the TV screen?
Yeah, sure. So in the beginning, for people that aren't super familiar with the show or haven't seen this season yet, Pam was started out as the director of HR and was just kind of like a little bit of a punching bag for people. They just needed somebody to be mean to, it feels like. And now, thank God, that's Cyril. Yes. And so she, over time, became amazing as far as like feats of strength. She can drive drift cars. She can do graffiti. Like now there's almost nothing Pam can't do, which has been really fun over the years to kind of watch her evolve. And this season in Dreamland, the character's known just as Poovy and is gender neutral and a cop, partners with Cyril or Figgis actually. And it's been very exciting to kind of play the character in this new way. And then, sorry, what was the second part of the question?
Just like how she, how you think of Pam's character as existing online, sort of almost separate from the show. And I mean, there are these Pam things that people love, like, you know, sound like you eating bear claws and, things like that that have taken on a life of their own online.
Yeah, it's been really fun actually watching kind of what's happened with Pam online. And one of the cool things that I've gotten to do is that starting, I think maybe in season five, maybe season four, I don't remember exactly, but I started writing Pam's Twitter feed, which is at Pam's Gossip Train. And Matt Thompson, the executive producer, approached me and was like, do you want to write tweets for Pam? And I was like pretty intimidated because I was like, you know, I can't even hold a candle to the writing that happens in this show. Like, how can I write in this character's voice? And so I did a bunch of sample tweets and I sent like a month's worth to Matt and he said, these are entirely too dirty. And I was like, it's Pam. What are you talking about? So we went back and forth and kind of settled on a voice. And it's been fun because much like this app, I get to kind of explore the life of the character outside of the world of the show. So like, you know, what the apartment's like that they live in, like what is some side jobs that Pam has taken on in the past. And she's like, one of the things that I wrote about her is that she's in like a jug band. She loves making stuff in the crock pot. There's been many recipes of a terrible crock pot meals that she's made. It's really fun to, for things to grow outside of just what you see when you watch the episodes.
Sure. All sitcoms have a steep hill to climb in terms of not getting canceled. At least that's my sense. Do you guys think it's fair to say that Archer wouldn't exist without the internet and without this extra level of engagement?
I think that is a fair thing to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Archer is both a response to fans, and I think it thrives on its fan base, especially. I mean, she was mentioning Pam's character. I think Pam is a great example of showing how we take Archer's universe very seriously. And I think that comes out of a respect for the fans. For example, she got a tattoo on her back. I don't even know when it was, like season two.
Yeah,
pretty early
I think so.
On in the season, in the show. But she still has that tattoo whenever she's naked or anything. Like we definitely take continuity seriously in our show.
What about you, Amber? Do you feel like – I mean, did you realize that the show was going to go for this many seasons when you first signed on? Of course not, right?
Right.
And how have you thought about that as the show has evolved?
It's been so amazing. And honestly, like being in Atlanta and because I'm close with these guys as far as being in the same city. And it's really incredible to watch – I didn't realize that the show was going to be so successful. And in season two, I think it took getting to season two to be like, oh, this is a show that's going to be awesome. And there's a bunch of famous people that are on it. And then I'm lucky enough to have been cast in the show as well. So it's been pretty amazing to watch it happen. And I do think that particularly Reddit has been really cool. Brian mentioned that earlier, like people, when we go to panels, people ask us questions and I'm like, I don't even know what you guys are talking about. Like stuff that's deep cut from season two and bringing up storylines and theories of how things work and are put together. And it's just amazing to watch fans respond to the show in that way.
Yeah, I think all of television is different now with the internet for sure. All these unique new shows coming out are possible, I think, because you can target more specific audiences than you could in the past.
And just like what you were saying with the background stuff, like just the ability of being able to watch a show and pause it and look at what's going on and really dissect and go back and rewatch things is just something that didn't exist years before. And so having the ability to do that is really cool. And I think that's changed it a lot too.
Mm-hmm. Any hints on how to use the app without giving too much away? Any Easter eggs in there that you could give us a heads up about? Our listeners?
I would be happy to because as much as we try to make this app easy, some people do struggle to get started on it. Basically, I would first, when you first get the app, try to target a dollar bill. That's really the best way to get started.
Okay.
That is an example of something that is activated by the game. So you'll see like a cartoon dollar bill appear that you can collect and then use in the game mechanics. So, for example, you could try to give it to Archer and see what he says. You could try to use it on a different object or whatever. Another example would be the season 8 poster or the Archer art book that came out a few months ago. Those all act as targets that you can target in the game and see see stuff come to life on the poster or on the book. We have a number of
those
things.
When you say target, what do you mean when you say target? Point the phone at it in real life and then it does something?
Yeah, a key thing is that it's not really like a camera in that you have to like hit a button to like take a picture. It's just you point you're in camera mode in the game. You're looking through the camera view and you just point at something that is activated with animation, and it just happens automatically. And depending on what it is, it either is just eye candy or it actually acts as an item in the game, which you then later use as part of a puzzle storyline.
Where do you think this is going next? Like, where do you think television and technology are going next?
That is a fine question. I think that what we're doing here is an early
That's
example.
That's a crappy question.
It's a really tough one. I mean, I think a lot of people are talking about it and a lot of people are excited about what's changing in television and how we engage with television shows. I think that this app represents sort of an early stab at sort of a way of engaging with a show that has never been done before, especially the use of the camera and actually having to point at the screen to like activate targets. I think we're going to see more and more of this multi-platform storytelling going on with all kinds of intellectual property out there. I think people want that, especially as they become big fans of whatever their favorite show is. They're just not satisfied with the show itself. They need more.
It's never enough.
It's never enough, especially when you got to wait a whole year between seasons or whatnot.
Sure.
People are just hungry for more ways to experience the universe of their favorite show.
And for me, I still think that people live inside my TV and that's how shows work. So this is all just blowing my mind.
Brian Fordney is technical director of the FX show Archer, and Amber Nash plays Pam on the show. Thank you guys for talking to me.
Thanks so much. It was fun.
Yes, thanks a lot.